I went to an elementary school where my elementary school teachers read poems a lot. They read to us, and they always read after recess. They still have recess now, right? I think. But I remember growing up hearing lots of different poems from a lot of American poets. The one that I remember the earliest was one written by Joyce Kilmer, who wrote the poem Trees. Are you familiar with that hymn, that poem? It's beautiful. It was written on February the 2nd, 1913. Joyce Kilmer tragically died in World War I. This is the poem. I think that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against earth's sweet flowing breast. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. Isn't that lovely? I love that poem. We have an affection for trees. We love trees. Trees do so much. They provide shade, fruits, nuts, lumber, right? They keep the soil from eroding. They provide all kinds of benefits because of lumber. They keep the wind. They protect us from the wind. Property values are higher when there are trees on the property, right, Mr. Dale? That's correct. All right. Trees are wonderful. Trees are magnificent. And we love to have them. Trees are also a witness. Trees are also a witness. I have a friend that lives in McKinney, Texas. I went to go see. He and his family visited them. Excuse me. And when I was there, they took me to the Heard Natural Science Museum. And there at the museum is a bur oak that is dated back to 1776. I thought to myself, now how cool is that, right? How cool is that? It gets even better. It gets even better. The oldest tree that we know of, in the state of Texas, is called the Big Tree on Goose Island. Are you all familiar with that tree? Look it up. The Big Tree on Goose Island in Rockport. Some estimates, according to the National Forest Service and also Texas A&M, they have dated that tree 2,000 years old, right? That tree is some 2,000 years old, and it is it's got a protection so that people don't go and touch it or pull a piece of bark off of it or whatever, and so it's protected. But I got to say something to you. I got to share something with you. I was worried when I heard that Hurricane Harvey had gone through Rockport, Goose Island, and all that. But that big tree, that 2,000-year-old oak tree, was unscathed. Unscathed. Trees are a witness. Trees are a witness. On my property in Goliad, I have some huge oak trees, and I always pay attention to the trees that have flat tops. Trees that have flat tops have stopped growing, right? But trees that have round tops continue to grow. So I'm always paying attention to the trees, especially one particular tree that I just think is pretty special because my children think it's pretty special. When they were little, they used to go to this one oak tree that had branches that hung onto the ground, and then it was like a jungle gym. They could go to this tree and climb it as high as they wanted to. I couldn't look, right? I couldn't look. I just had to walk away and just say, well, tell me when y'all are finished playing, because it was such a blessing. It was such a wonderful thing. I grew up with trees, and my affection for trees has to do with the fact that in the neighborhood that I grew up in, I used to forage. There were people that had different kinds of fruit trees, mulberry, pomegranate, kumquat, loquat. They would have all these different kinds of fruit trees and nut trees, right? The Blunts, who lived next door, had this gigantic tree. It blew down, about a third of it blew down, broke off, I was worried that it was going to die, but I went over there a couple of weeks ago and saw that it's still living, producing fruit. And it produced these huge pecan nuts that had paper-thin shells. And I can remember us kids just going by those fruit trees and the Blunt's pecan tree, and I got to say the honeysuckle vines too, just for fun. And we would go and enjoy ourselves with the blessing of those trees. It was just absolutely wonderful. My mother and dad, my mom and dad did not grow fruit and nut trees. My mother loved magnolia trees. And we had three magnolia trees, two in the front, one in the back. And whenever the magnolia blossoms would bloom, I would go and cut them, and she'd put them in a bowl of water in different rooms of the house. And it just emitted this wonderful fragrance that the whole house just blessed us with. It's kind of like magnolia trees, magnolia blossoms have a special place in my heart. Metaphors for being a Christian. I want to talk about that for a little bit. Metaphors for being a Christian. John chapter 10, 14 through 15, we are like sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, I the Father, and I give my life for my sheep. We're like a vine. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, we can do nothing. We're like salt and light, Matthew 5, 13 through 14. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. We are like serpents and doves, Matthew 10, 16. I'm sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents, and innocent as doves. We are like living stones. That's an interesting image. 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9. Living stones, let yourselves be built up into a spiritual house with living stones to be a holy priesthood and offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Proverbs 27, 17. You might be familiar with this one. We are like iron to each other. Iron sharpens iron. One person sharpens the wits of another. And as kids, it is true that when you strike iron and flint, it does start a fire. I'm just saying. Clay, we are like clay. Isaiah 64, verse 8. Yet, O Lord, you are the Father. We are the clay. And you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Wonderful metaphors. I love these metaphors, and they're organic. I have a hard time imagining a fabricated metaphor in terms of who we are and our relationship with God. For example, I don't know if it works or not. Maybe you can help me, and I'm just throwing this out there. Maybe you can enlighten me a little bit, but I can't imagine Jesus saying, God is the smartphone and we're the app. You know, it just doesn't fit, right? It just doesn't work, kind of empty for me. But we're like tree and clay and iron, living stones, serpents, doves, salt, light, vines, sheep, all organic images and metaphors for our life. One of the things that is out there in the world today is that, forgive me, I'm going to have to get my hot cup of coffee because it soothes my throat. All the moles in my air make my throat very scratchy, so I apologize. Right before I bought my property in Goliad, I had to determine how I could give it to the Lord. Everything that we do has to have the Lord involved in it, right? And so I was trying to figure out how my little piece of property could benefit the Lord. And I realized that many preachers today grew up in the city. They don't know anything about agriculture. They don't know anything about hunting or fishing. And they grew up in the city where you go buy chicken, right, at the store, and beef comes prepackaged, correct? And so I was thinking to myself, what I'd like to do is to have a place to retreat for pastors. And when I retire, I will have animals, and I will have vines, and I already have a pastor who has the same sort of idea, and he grows an acre of wheat and brings pastors to come and help him harvest the wheat as they did in biblical times. So that's what I want to do, kind of help people become in touch with the environment and the biblical metaphors that are organic and agriculture in the Bible. The psalm teaches us that we are like a tree planted by an ever-flowing stream. A tree that is happy. Now, when the scriptures talk about happy, it's not like, don't worry, be happy, that kind of thing. It's not happy as in giddy. It's not happy as in, I got no worries in this world. Happy as in blessed. Happy as in the Beatitudes. Blessed are they. So when we have a relationship with the Lord our God through the Word, that Word connects us with our lives and God's life for us. In other words, we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. When we have that relationship, there is a comfort in our hearts and minds. There is a knowledge and a joy that is deep rooted, like a tree planted by an ever-flowing stream that produces fruit in its season and that is successful. Even though we fail at times, we are successful at all times in the life that we live through Jesus Christ our Lord and the relationship that we have with God. A long, long time ago in Europe, people used to build their castles next to bodies of water, whether it was a stream or a river or a lake. So whenever their enemies would come, all they had to do was to block them their access to water, laying the castle in siege. They would lay siege on the castle. And the people would have to give up. So what the folks in the castle started to do is that they started to build their castles over bodies of water. And if you like, you can Google up castles over bodies of water in Europe, and you can see where castles are built over bodies of water. And they also started digging wells down deep inside the castle walls so that they would have an eternal source of access to water, always. And they could fight whatever enemies, whatever barbarian hordes lay outside the castle walls. So it is with us. The wellspring that we have comes from within. And the source of that wellspring is the Lord our God. And when we grow our roots deep in God's Word, to not just convict us of those things that are wrong with the world, but also to bless us and nourish us and empower us to live life abundantly and victoriously in this world. So this week, I would invite you to connect our root source of our lives, to connect the root source of our soul, the root source of our faith, to the Word of God, that we may grow deep and strong and not live lives just for ourselves, but to bear fruit for all, to bear fruit in abundance, that all may be blessed in the world in which we live. In the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.